Hey, folks, I wanted to let you know, in case you weren't already aware, that this Friday, June 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, Mark and I are doing a live two-hour clean slate with a ton of our favorite guests. All the ticket sales will benefit the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Here's how it works. You go to houseseats.live, click on the We Got This with Mark and Hal picture, and buy your ticket. Again, all those proceeds going to charity. And you'll see the list of some of our guests, some of your favorites from the podcast over the years, including Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, Travis McElroy, Laser Melina Weber, my co-hosts from Tights and Fights, Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, my co-hosts from Good Morning Night Vale, Meg Bashwinner and Symphony Sanders. Of course, it wouldn't be a Night Vale party without Cecil Baldwin himself. He will be there too, as will our good buddy Eric Edelstein. Folks, you don't want to miss this one. The tickets are not super expensive, and here's the cool part. When you buy a ticket, even if you can't be there live, you get access to the show for 48 hours afterwards. So give some money to a good cause and check out our biggest clean slate ever. That is at houseseats.live. You can buy tickets, I believe, through Thursday. So pick them up. It's super easy to do, and I will see you Friday night live from my home and from Mark's home. We're doing it all live over the internet. The only way to see it is to go to houseseats.live and get your tickets. Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. Freddy or Jason?
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcast should have a theme song.
Podcast should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Hal.
Yeah.
This is a very special episode of We Got This.
It's a very special episode.
This is one of the first topics that was ever pitched to us when we came up with the idea for this show.
By me.
And by you. I thought, oh, this was you pitched this?
Because
it was on the initial list of, like, here's some topic ideas.
Yeah, sure was.
Like the initial list. All right.
Yeah.
So since day one, we've thought, well, this is kind of a perfect example of this. Usually we get people who have nothing to do with the topic involved and get them to talk about trivial matters. But we figured for the topic of Freddy or Jason, who better to go to then the star of Freddy versus Jason, our friend Jason Ritter. Jason, thanks for being here, dude.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited.
I didn't know
that it was an original idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, early on when we started, it was like, well, you know, we have a bunch of friends who we'd love to have on the show. And you were obviously one of the names that came up. And I thought, like, oh, first of all, I love the movie Freddy versus Jason.
Thanks.
because people argue about it all the time.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I rewatched it, you know, every time I rewatch it, and have met you since, and you're great in it.
Oh, thank you.
It was like, well, geez, this is the only time we're going to have something that's this versus that, and have somebody who has been in a movie where literally that is what we watched happen on screen.
Yep. The fight happened. There was a a winner? All right.
Oh, we don't know.
It's somewhat ambiguous.
I think that's why it's up to us today.
Yeah, we have to officially decide it here. Dude, that movie is so much fun. That movie is pure popcorn fan service. I mean, for God's sake, Jason stabs Freddy with his own glove still attached to his own arm.
That whole fight sequence is
that fight sequence is
amazing. And that final thing where they're both just tired and hacking away at each other.
Yeah. It is gruesome. There's some gruesome stuff in that movie.
Yeah. It's amazing.
But it also hits all of the wonderful tropes that we've come to know and love in this genre movie, right down to the, look, the adults aren't going to help us. It's up to us now.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It is all of the wonderful, wonderful slasher movie tropes. Ugh. So I say that just to say I concur with Hal. We're both huge fans of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
When you were growing up, were you a fan of horror films? Like, did you have a favorite between them coming in, or were you like, this seems like a fun movie, I'm happy to be paid to do it?
I actually was a fan of Freddy before I got to Part. I knew Freddy, but the first one that I saw, because, you know, they started in the 80s when I was too young to see those, was Freddy's Dead. That was the first one that I saw with Breckin Meyer, and they go into the video game and you forgot the power glove. And then there's this amazing scene, which I think almost works better when you're at home. But I was in the theater holding my 3D glasses where they go, now these paper glasses don't mean much in the real world, but in the dream, there's a whole thing where they're like, so now, because you went in, they're like, you'll know when to put them on. But it wasn't going to be a thing where it says, like, now put on your 3D glasses. It was like, right, you'll know when to put them on. And so in the movie, there's this whole sequence where they're like, so now, or now you don't put them on yet. But remember, these are special in the dream world. And I saw that and it blew my mind. And it really terrified me. Like I was still young enough where the idea of a dream demon that, like, you're safe as long as you never sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to sleep at some point? Well, then you're dead. It was so scary. I remember, like, that whole idea of really freaking me out. And then Jason, I had a different relationship to, because I didn't really – I had seen some of the movies, I think, at a certain point. But more than that, my name is Jason. And so any Friday the 13th, they were like, oh, this guy. Like, yeah, that's my name.
Me. I've come to kill you.
Very cool. Yeah.
They were really bad at being bullies. If they were like, this guy.
Yeah.
Let's corner him and say, this guy. And you get a point this time.
Okay.
All right, Chester. Yeah.
You say this guy and you say, am I right?
Yeah. I'm just going to nod.
And then you gift him this hockey mask. Got him.
I'm gonna
Thanks, guys. I'll add it to the stack.
Exactly. So I had, and the thing that I did like about Freddy, or the thing I appreciated about the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, especially as they went on, was his sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you're young and you're watching it, to see a guy's, you know, head explode from nails on a chalkboard and the hearing aid fall into Freddy's hand and go, nice hearing from you, Carlos. all those, they're like, it's a tension release.
Yeah,
you get to laugh a little bit.
It's still scary as hell when he shows up.
Oh my god, it's so scary. It's really, it doesn't take away any of the fear. It's just, it's creepy that he's kind of laughing and enjoying it and making these silly jokes. And yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, he becomes like a Bugs Bunny as it goes up, because the first one he's just straight terrifying.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
and then. But like, it was really the third, it was really Dream Warriors, the third one, where he's like, oh, I'm going to make this guy into a marionette. I'm going to become the TV and pull the guy's head in.
Oh,
Dream Warriors was my introduction to.
Whoa. Freddy.
That was the first, I think probably the first R-rated horror movie I saw.
On HBO?
Probably. And I think that what you're saying about that, like, you know, he had this insane sense of humor. Freddy always seemed naughty to me.
Yeah.
And especially being a kid, and you're like, it's an R-rated movie. I'm not supposed to be watching this. So we're all going to, like, don't tell your parents that we're going to watch this Freddy movie. And then Freddy comes on and he's absolute evil anarchy.
Yeah.
Which is weird, though, because, like, as a kid, you watch it and you're like, yeah, anarchy. This guy's nuts. And then as an adult, some of the stuff you watch and you're like, oh, that is, he's making horrifying jokes in addition to doing horrifying things as well.
Yeah, exactly. And to himself, usually. It's usually after the person's dead.
Yeah.
He's just like, he in the person's dying dream world, he says a little silly joke and then laughs, and that's it. The person's life blinks out. But
yeah.
So I love those movies. And in particular, my favorite thing about the Freddy movies was the moment, like, you never quite knew when someone had fallen asleep or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like all of a sudden something is weird and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's asleep and then it's over.
And it can be something really small. Yours being the one that I saw most recently, because I watched it again today, is like, yeah, it's the shower is going and then the door opens up and the shower's not going. And you're like, but the shower was, oh no.
Exactly.
He's asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. That was intense.
Hal, what was your relationship with, since we're talking about Freddy, let's just stay on Freddy for a little while.
Sure. My first one was also Dream Warriors because it was on HBO all the time. I eventually watched it, and I remember the doc, the Dream Warriors, that whole like docking song. And then I had like a phase where I was like, all right, I'm going to watch all these. And I probably watched through to Freddy's Dead. That was the last one I saw. I started renting them on VHS and watching. And there's something terrifying about him, but also because he has a personality, I think that makes him stand out in the horror genre, that he does have like the humor and the video game kill. And even in Freddy versus Jason, the kid who gets high and the talking caterpillar, like the little Alice in Wonderland nod.
Yeah.
There's something to him. Like he kind of transcends the movies. You remember him and moments maybe a little more than with Jason Voorhees, who is terrified. The first Friday the 13th is one of the most frightening horror films.
Yeah.
When you know things are coming, it still gets you.
Yeah.
Just tons of jump scares. So I watched a lot of Freddy, then I watched a lot of Jason. I appreciate both of them, which is why when the movie came out, I was like, oh, this is, we keep coming back to it, is this movie, maybe more than any that exists, fulfills the promise of its title, in that you get sort of the greatest hits of both. There's a decent reason for them to come together, and then watching them slug it out, you get to see the things that you like the most about each character sort of accentuated.
Absolutely.
That's kind of a joy to watch. But I was terrified of Freddy as a kid. One of the nightmares I remember is my best friend was sleeping over, and we were downstairs sharing like a sofa bed. We would stay up to like watch TV down there. Freddy was chasing me to dream, and I grabbed something to hit him. And when I woke up, I had my friend's pillow in my hands.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And there was blood on it and a slash.
Yeah, he was dead. He had been stabbed a bunch. I miss him. Oh
God. Shame about your friend.
Yeah. He fell asleep. I woke. I was lucky. He got. Yeah. I only had to outrun him. That was.
You got to wake up. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like the kills in the Freddy movies, because they have that ability to enter into the dream world and the requirement to enter into the dream world. You know, when you see a Friday the 13th movie, if someone is in the woods by themselves.
Yeah.
There is going to be, and especially if they are smoking, drinking, doing drugs, having sex, any of those things, they're done for. And so you kind of like the joy of the Friday the 13th movies and watching those scares is you know what's coming.
Yeah.
If someone falls asleep in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, you have no idea what's coming.
What specific nightmare he's churned up for you specifically.
Exactly. So the deaths in his movies, always, they're such a fun, you kind of like look for clues in the room and you're like, oh, what's it going to be? It's almost like the Final Destination movies where you're like, oh, okay, he just walked into an acupuncturist. Let's look around the room and see what could kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes this sort of macabre game.
And they're so surreal, like, you know, like that, you know, you could maybe when you're watching a Friday the 13th movie go, oh, being, you know, sliced in half or whatever, that would be painful. I don't know what it's like to be a giant cockroach on sticky paper. I don't know what that would feel like.
Yeah.
Like, that would hurt.
It is. They are less visceral.
Yeah.
The deaths in Freddy movies are less visceral. Like in a Friday the 13th movie, it's like, ooh, oh, and in a Freddy movie, it's like, wait, what? He's using his tendons and making a marionette.
Oh gosh. It's amazing.
That way though, don't they start like some of them will start off like, oh, I think I'm having a good dream, something good is happening, and then there's a turn. So at least you have a moment of happiness.
If that's
Jason
true.
Is after you, the entire time your elevated heart rate, you're sweating, you're like death is coming for you. There's also the Jason in space where he dips a woman's face in liquid nitrogen and then smashes it against
Sometimes, who, by the way,
is coming.
Look, she had to know it was coming because she's sitting in the lab in a sports bra.
Yeah.
Working. And you're like, okay, these movies are.
Jason doesn't like that.
Yeah.
No.
Look, he does not like.
Jason doesn't like that.
He really is the morality police.
He really is.
Like, I mean, he's don't he's drink, like, don't do drugs, don't have sex, don't even wear a sports bra while you're working.
Now, is he the morality police, or is he like, I didn't get to do any of that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of his thing is FOMO, it seems.
It might be
part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's like, he certainly hates teenagers because they let him drown to death.
Right.
And then so that
and then he killed his mom is also
and they killed his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, look, I'm not saying
but she was killing them
I'm not
first,
saying I'm condoning.
She was killing them fun, first.
But I kind of get it.
You do get it?
I kind of get
it. You kind of get Jason's thing?
That's what's weird about it is there's like, and even in yours, like with the whole him being bullied and thrown in the river is like Freddie has no redeeming qualities outside of his sense of humor. He is a child killer and
he's a child
killing children.
He loves killing children. When the town decided to kill him, he said, I'm just going to keep on. I'm so bad. I'm just going to keep on doing this in even worse ways.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, I mean, there's some like the sins of the town, but there was a child killer. I mean, I guess they could have gone to the police.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
The system's going to work or if they're going to let Freddy Krueger back out onto the streets, you know?
Exactly. What if he had a good, like, you don't want to see that trial film where like, Your Honor, my client, a lot of people have that sweat. It's very common. And I seen somebody make a glove like that just a county over. And nobody's talking to him.
It's like when they stab the table in 12 Angry Men, but they have to do it four times with the glove. I've seen these knives at four different stores.
I love the trial of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
You know, my client has, he's like all of you. He has dreams. It's foreshadowing for gets off and burned to death.
Yeah, I had this one dream. No, Freddie, don't talk. Don't tell him about the. Let me do the lawyering.
Yeah.
I'll handle this, Freddie.
He definitely would have been one of those guys who like wanted to represent himself.
Yeah. You know, if only that movie had taken place later, they could have gotten him on To Catch a Predator.
Oh my God.
Said that you were
take a seat right there.
12-year-old.
You wanted take to a
play
seat
Pokemon
right.
Go?
Yeah. I did. I did want to play Pokemon Go. What is that, a camera? Is that a camera? I don't want a camera.
I'm trying to tell her that you shouldn't meet people on the internet. And these Bacardi Breezers are to show that they're for me.
God.
What else is in that paper bag, Freddie?
These are condoms for a thing for later.
Those To Catch a Predators are so painful. I've seen one where a guy like had just gotten out of jail. Oof. Or the last time he was on To Catch a Predator. He's like, hey, remember me? And he's like, ah, damn it.
Well, to be fair, it was the Tournament of Champions. Right. So they bring all the big ones back.
Yeah.
The Ken Jennings of To Catch a Predator.
71 episodes.
That show is so satisfying to me. Just for the lies. They try to get out of it and they're like, well, we have 25 pages printed out of everything that you said. And I just love it.
The only thing that would make it more satisfying is if Freddie or Jason, if at the end one of them, they're like, okay, we need you to fall asleep now. Oh, wait, is Freddie going to show up in my dream? Just fall asleep now. And then they hit the ceiling.
A fountain of blood from the bed.
Yeah.
So, but yes, so Freddie is a monster. But Jason, outside of some of the more insane movies where it's just, he's just a mindless killing machine, he is almost given empathy.
He is. He is. There's an element of him. I mean, we shouldn't forget that he's just killed so many people.
So many. His body count is like 180 something. It's insane.
Yeah. It's really bad. But I think, especially in Freddy versus Jason, you start to see some of the, you know, like him all kind of curled up and scared.
And a baby in a mask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It was exciting to see how they figured out how to get them into the same world.
Right. Well, you know, cause Freddy gets pulled into the real world a lot.
He does.
Always at the end of the movie, he gets pulled into the real world so they can kill him.
Yeah.
But in that movie, for me, it was the second that Jason falls asleep.
That was
when he hits him with the tranquilizers and you're like, oh, he's gonna knock him out with the, he's gonna knock him out into the dream world with the tranquilizers.
Yeah. That was an exciting moment.
Speaking of exciting moments, were there times on set, because I mean, there is, look, you guys, the stakes for the characters are incredibly high.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with some of the most emotionally charged, high stakes acting. Like, you are actually asked to do some, like, you know, intensely emotional things.
Yeah.
How does that juxtapose on set with the fact that you are there with Freddie and Jason duking it out on a pier?
Yeah, it was so bizarre. I mean, I think like what I learned a lot of lessons over the course of that movie and watching it later. I think like the more you don't tally up the trauma over the course of the more, the more you just let it go, the more I think you're just like, hey, my friend died. We got to get out of here. I think that's better than trying to like carry like this person died and then this, and then I've seen 16 people murdered. And like, I think it was a challenge. It was a, I was thrown into it and I had to kind of like figure out how to do it. It was like my biggest thing that had happened to me in my acting life to that point, and I was replacing somebody who I think everybody would have rather had. So,
oh, I didn't know that you were replacing somebody in that.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad they got you.
Thank you.
Spoken like Aunt Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How'd you learn all those lines?
Yeah, it was Jason, tough. You should be in that movie. I'm gonna make a call. I'm gonna make a call for you.
My nephew loves those two movies.
Yeah,
almost a franchise. But yeah, it was bizarre. But then it was super fun and surreal. I mean, like to see Robert Englund, especially, who is Freddy. It's him. You're like, oh, that's the guy from my nightmares. And to see him doing sort of like everyday things like sitting in a chair or like, you know, he would wear that glove and he'd go over to craft service and just like spear a grape with his finger and it was really bizarre and surreal, and that aspect of it was amazing, and all the fight stuff was super fun. But yeah, it was I still kind of can't. It almost feels like a dream at this point.
It was 18 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, 02.
Oh, yeah. Man. And you've had a great career since then that is content. It's not that it's over. This is retrospective. Yeah. So we're here to honor.
No, listen, this is the end. This is the end.
This is it. You're retiring.
I'm announcing it here. Yes.
We're going to read the 23rd Psalm in a few minutes.
Yeah. And then
Hal and I are going to pick you up and carry you out the room.
Yeah.
Push me out to sea in a Viking boat.
Hey, Jason, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're a horrible nightmare.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So, Mark, you're like the king of criteria.
Okay.
Have you thought about what criteria we would do? Because this is a tough thing to settle. Obviously, a movie all about it could not even settle this great debate.
I think that let's come up with some criteria together. I have a few ideas. I think one is the classic who would win in a fight.
Sure.
Which is kind of what the movie sets out to answer, it seems. Mm-hmm. And then we've also got just the character themselves, like the performance of the character. Mm-hmm. The backstory of the character. I should be writing all of these down.
Why start?
Right? Look, guys, it's not that I don't care. What do you guys think? Like, give me some more criteria and we'll whittle them down. Great. Don't everybody go at once.
Well, I'm thinking like presence in pop culture.
Yeah.
In general, culture. Because I think one of them has... Well, I think we'll get to that. We'll discuss that when we get to it. But I think that that's one by which you can judge it. Neither one's getting their own cereal, but.
Right.
But Friday the 13th has had more video games, I believe, made.
Yes.
Freddy, I've which never is played surprising because I feel like Freddy would, that would be a fun, would lend itself to a fun.
Yeah. Video,
different levels, different weird dreams that you have to kind of.
I feel like that.
Yeah, if you're designing a Freddy game, you can go anywhere. If you're designing a Nightmare on Elm Street, or if you're designing a Friday the 13th game, it's like, great. You're going to be rendering the woods
Yeah.
For the next 6 months of your life.
Exactly.
But a lot of those early games, we're talking like Nintendo games.
Are you talking like side scrollers?
There were, yeah, there was an early Friday the 13th game where you're kind of going into cabins and Jason's somewhere. There was also an early Nightmare on Elm Street game, I think.
Yeah.
But there's a new Friday the 13th game that I haven't played that a lot of people are enjoying where you can either play as, it's like co-op slash competition. You can either play as four teenagers against Jason, or you can play as Jason slowly stalking them all. And yeah, so if you have that one friend,
that is horrifying, the idea that yeah. there's a video game where you're like, hey, do you want to be Jason? No, I don't want to be Jason.
Someone is like, yeah. I do. I'm yeah. always Jason.
I downloaded it for free, but I'm scared to play it.
I'm scared to play it.
It's too scary. It's too frightening.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe we'll play together sometime. We're friends on PlayStation. We could do it.
We can do it.
Quick side question for you guys.
Yeah.
While we are talking about Jason Voorhees, what did you think of the reboot and the fact that he had speed in that? That was the thing that took me by surprise. I really liked the
reboot. And he could run, you mean?
Exactly. At the very beginning when you see him kind of lumber up and then he just breaks into a sprint.
You're like,
oh, this is a thing now. Okay.
Like, first time seeing 28 Days Later and you're like, zombies are fast. That was the one comforting thing about zombies. Yeah. And now it's gone. Yeah, that was, it's interesting when you take a beloved character and I guess in a reboot, all bets are off. I feel like in the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, they went a little more into less just straight up child killing.
Yeah.
A little bit more like child predator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Notes there. I was like, hey, he's bad enough. He's scary enough.
Yeah. Do we really need to
go there?
Add another layer, that layer?
Yeah. I mean, it was subtle. I still was like, is that what that? I mean, I guess it's all. I guess if you're a child killer. Anyway. but yeah, I think it's interesting to see what they decide, how we make this current and how we combat everybody goes, well, why don't they just run away from Jason? Why don't they just run?
That's the thing about Jason is you look at Jason Voorhees and you think, this guy, yeah, he's an unstoppable killing force, but he's real slow.
He doesn't have an ID. He can't get on a plane.
Exactly. Yeah. He gets pinned. He can get pinned down fairly easily. Like, it seems like the Scooby-Doo gang could drop a cage on Jason and he would not know what to do.
No.
Like, stop thinking that you've killed him and then leaving the room. Put a Ring doorbell camera on him 24/7. Do not let him out of your sight. Because the second you turn away and turn back, you're like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah. I know. That's the key with those strong, silent killing types. Also, you got to make sure you bury them away from like electricity or anyone trying to revive their dead dads or anything like that.
Right.
He gets accidentally resurrected so many times. He's just trying to stay dead.
Yeah.
And then it was like lightning kind of, he's like, all right. Guess I got to do this again.
Kill some more teenagers for a while until they figure out another way to bury me.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure one time he was in the ground and a kid was just wishing that his turtle would come back to life and that was enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
He's like,
all right, here I come.
Big mistake.
He grabs the turtle shell, pokes two eye holes in it, makes his new mask.
Oh my gosh. That's the reboot.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the that's organic Jason Voorhees.
Exactly. They call him Turtle Face.
Oh my God.
I think that Jason always ran. I think we're finally seeing it on screen because the kids would run in those films and then he would wind up there. Either that or just there was a series of the dumbest kids. They're like, I'm going to go to this cabin and hide in a bed or hide in a closet. There's no way he'll look in the place where he is all the time. There's no way he would know. I figured it out.
Either that or there's something about Camp Crystal Lake that is like everything's just enough on an angle that you think you're running in a straight line and like you're,
but he knows the correct angles.
Yeah,
he knows where the alleys are.
You're actually running in a circle, a big circle.
Yeah. It's one giant hamster wheel.
Oh my God. Exactly.
And traps you there.
All right. I think I have, tell me what you guys think of this.
All right.
We've got who would win in a fight.
Yeah.
The character itself and the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that in a character battle, Freddy's infinitely the more exciting character, but I think Jason has the pathos in his backstory is an interesting thing to play with.
Yeah.
who has the more iconic moments? Because there are a lot of iconic kills in these movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I want to talk just a little about, because maybe you guys can, I know none of us are professional psychiatrists or psychologists, but, you know, all of these things in horror, all these monsters in horror movies represent something. Mm-hmm. And do these guys represent the same thing? Is Jason, what does Jason represent? Is he an immovable force? Is he, you know what I mean? Like, we can get to that. We can talk about that later.
I'm into that.
But,
I like that.
I'm just throwing that into the back of our heads. But let's start with the simple who would win in a fight.
I mean, in Freddy's dream world, Freddy's going to win because he is basically right. God in those things. So the, I guess the question is, in real life, who would right. win in a fight? Once Freddy's been pulled out into the world and he just has. So, I mean, I think that it is a fair fight. I mean, I think that there were a lot of people who were just like, Jason's bigger, he's stronger, he's more powerful. Mm-hmm. But Freddy's fast. Freddy can.
He's spry.
He can figure things out. And so I think it becomes sort of an endurance match. Like Jason can take mm-hmm. a lot of stabs, four-finger right. stabs. But I don't know. I mean, I think it depends. I think it's like if one of them were to get the upper hand and at any particular moment, mm-hmm. like when Jason lops off Freddy's arm and literally gets the upper hand, right. then you win. But Freddy could have had one of those moments too. And, you know, when he got Jason's old eyes in there.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like their fight was the original version of that was Fezzik versus Wesley in
yes.
The Princess Bride.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
You know, you're quick.
That was a very good Andre the Giant. Yeah.
Thanks, man. I just watched that movie recently.
It's so good. Everybody Look, is firing times like, on all cylinders. And,
yeah. Oh, it really, it's a pretty perfect movie.
It is a pretty, it's a beautiful movie. I always forget that it starts with that, like, Jalico baseball Nintendo.
Yeah.
Fred yes. Savage. I'm always like, what? Did I put the wrong movie? Oh, right. It's Fred Savage and Columbo.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Is this a kissing book? Are you trying to trick me?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's so good.
And also, Fred Savage is in the mid-1980s America, and Peter Falk is on a Broadway stage playing Willie Loman in the most scenery-chewing performance.
It's so great.
Like, he even has theater gray in his hair. I'm like, that's like the spray gray that we used to play.
Oh my God.
Were forced to play the dad.
That is so funny. I never even thought of that.
The baby he looks powder like he's is in a play. Clouding around him when he moves.
Oh.
Oh
my God. I have to see it again.
Yeah.
So long. I
oh,
love
it's pretty
it.
Great.
Grease pencil mustache.
A sponge, burnt sponge, burnt cork. I mean, yeah.
I haven't shaved in days.
The first play that I did in high school, I had to play a grown man, and I did that like burnt cork thing all over. First of yeah. all, like anybody's going to be like, is that a 45-year-old man? But you still do it because that's what you're supposed yeah. to do. And yeah. it looked horrifying. Like, you know how, like, when you get a glint of Groucho Marx's mustache when it's
oh, yeah.
the paint, and you're like, oh, yeah. it's shiny, and that's
and there's so sweat late. Beads on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like that, like matte, just not like no space for like yeah. double, or you could see
wasn't stippled.
It just was like as if I just took a paint roller.
You look like Emmett Kelly's tramp clown character.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
from all of those paintings.
Yeah. They all look like sad clowns.
That's everywhere. Thing.
What play was it? What were you doing?
It was the Children's Hour.
Okay.
It's yeah. And Simon Helberg and I were.
I love it. Shout out Crossroads.
Crossroads.
This is a Crossroads.
Yeah. First play in the drama department there.
I love it. I love it.
And last time using burnt cork. When people for days were like, did something happen to your face? I was like, I don't know how to wash it off.
All right. So who do we think would win in the fight? Do we give that? I think like, yeah, tradition and the internet seem to dictate that Jason would win that fight. Freddy gets a fighting chance in it. And in the movie, it is a draw. But in the human world,
I would say, Jason, just because I think Freddy is not equipped. I don't think we've seen Jason get attacked by so many different things and run through, and he's just kind of like, okay. And I don't know, even if he went for his neck or tried to, I don't think he has enough to, I think he could do a lot of damage to Jason, but I think Jason just has that thing where.
Well, he's like, that's his thing, is he is unkillable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the real world, Freddy's killable.
Yes, exactly. We did it once.
Yeah.
So the guy survived New York City in the 80s. Nothing could defeat him.
And space. And hell.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wherever you
send
it.
Not too shabby.
All right. Yeah. The winner for who would win in a fight goes to Jason. Let's talk about their pop culture clout, I guess.
Sure.
I think that the hockey mask is more. Well, actually, I don't know.
Yeah,
that striped sweater and fedora and glove. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I think Freddie, actually. Freddie seems like such an 80s nightmare, like where you're like, wait, he has a glove of knives? What? Who? Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yep.
Not just like a scary monster killing machine who just goes around, but just like a guy who's put some like craftsmanship into it and then is let me, I don't know. I mean, the idea that he's inescapable too is the thing that scared me. Like, you can't get on enough planes. You can't go to space. I mean, I guess Jason goes to space too, but if you know about him, you can dream about him and then you're down.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he had a television show. He had, what is it? Freddy's Nightmares, I think, was something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah.
He had the single with, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Oh yeah! Oh my gosh!
Nightmare on My Street.
Yeah. I had that whole thing memorized.
It's so good.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. That and parents just don't understand.
I've got the brains.
Sure. We all remember.
Oh my gosh!
I think Freddy benefits in this one also from the ability to speak.
Yes,
exactly. Because while Jason has the mask, he has the mask and the machete, two iconic pieces that are him. Freddy is the evil version of the genie from Aladdin. He pops in and out of pop culture references. He's in crazy costumes. He recognizes that he is a part of the pop culture that he is a part of.
And there's no one like him. Like, he occupies his own thing. Whereas Jason, you know, there's Michael Myers. There's some other guys out there that I'm sure they are like, oh, I could have done that better, you know, each other. I mean,
let me play as Jason in this video game.
Exactly.
Jason went to space. Whatever.
Do you think that Bob and Doug on that SpaceX mission they're on right now ever turned to each other and were like, dude, we're just like Jason. We're in space.
Probably. That's why everyone goes to space. So they
To be like Jason.
Like Jason X.
That's almost what they called SpaceX. They were just going to call it Jason X.
Oh my God.
I don't know why.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think as far as the pop culture presence goes, we have to give that one to Freddie.
Yeah, Jason would not be as good of a host of the variety.
Right.
Yeah.
Silently.
That said, in 2020... Oh, God. Just sitting there while his guests are like, are you going to ask me a question?
Yeah. Just sitting in a big armchair with a fire behind him. Just.
I do think that the elephant in the room, as far as Freddy pop culture wise, is, you know, some jokes that do not age well at all.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Jason has the benefit of having never opened his mouth.
That's true.
Right.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. No, there's some things that didn't think. I mean, even in Freddy versus Jason, there's a couple jokes that even at the time I was like, glad I'm not saying either of these.
Yeah.
But we forget that because he's so much fun. He is a villain. He is like,
that's true. Yeah.
He is a horrible person. That's,
yeah.
He says these things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He also murders children as his main hobby.
Yeah.
And also, there's always a reminder that it's dated. He has a power glove. You know, he's not virtual reality. He's like, oh, wow, that was the coolest thing at the time.
Yeah. He is not aspirational.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be aspirational to be a pop culture influence. And
that's true.
I think he's definitely the winner in that.
I want to say something about the Power Glove very quickly, because I thought it was the coolest thing. And yet it's such a bad idea, because they're like, you know, it would be great if we made controllers just one hand. Like, we take away what, like, the one piece of progress we've had, which is you use both. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm just going to type on my arm and that'll make Mario jump. This is going to be great. Like, it's there's also no real motion to it at all that I remember.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think you just have to hold your arm awkwardly in front of you and press the buttons with one hand.
You're Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, you're Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, with his little light laser.
Exactly. And yeah, it is also questionable marketing to say, let's put this, I mean, you know, like Reese's Pieces, you know, they went into E.T. and their sales went way up. M&M said no, and Reese's Pieces, like, Power Glove is like, Freddy, what if Freddy has him? Child killer. Freddy.
Now you can be Freddy. They had that too, because I had the fake glove. I had like a copy glove when I was a kid, and I had the mask. They sold those to children, like even outside the Power Glove, where it's now Freddy is playing Donkey Kong. But that was not an NES game. I can't believe I couldn't come up with an NES game. Now you can play Track and Field 88 like Freddy would.
Man, no, everybody knows that you play Track and Field with the Advantage or the Max, and you just hold down the A on turbo.
Or the power pad, and you slap everybody. It on the ground. Do you ever do that? The power pad. Watching six adults use a power pad when I was a kid was like, that was like the moment I was like, oh, you don't ever figure it out, do you? You never,
So funny with the power pad, who people are like, I figured out how to hack it. And then they're just on the floor pounding it with their hands, like, so much easier.
Those same people did that at Dance Dance Revolution at Dave and Buster's. Kneeling behind a big arcade game, smacking on the dance floor.
Figured it out. Now who looks stupid?
Yeah, there's a line of kids behind them that just want to play the game.
Yeah.
That guy praying to Dance Dance Revolution?
I mean, well, he is facing Mecca. He's on his knees. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's Freddy.
It is Freddy.
Yeah, I think Freddy.
Look, so I worked at Universal Studios for a long time, and Halloween Horror Nights was a frequent part of my job.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
And they did had some great, there were a couple, I don't know if it was 1 year or 2 years, where they had Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the mazes you could walk through. Did you guys ever go to those?
I walked through one of the Freddy versus Jason mazes. Yeah. It was
a blast.
Terrifying.
It was so scary. I also I'm so embarrassed to admit this, but there was a part of me that was like, I know it's not Robert Englund or anybody that I actually worked with.
Yeah.
But I was like, what if one of them's like, oh, hey, of course, you know, it was kind of like scare me, but I was like, huh. Here I am, everybody. Terrified as if, hey, man, this is the guy. Let's not scare him.
Don't scare the guy from Freddy versus Jason. He already knows us. Beat us.
I'd be terrified of the opposite. They'd be like, oh, he's in the, we got to double, we got to make sure
that this is our chance. Like,
or the one that takes it too seriously.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's that guy. That's that guy that blew up that propane.
This is for the real Jason.
Yeah.
But I thought it was odd that one of the things that they had there, just talk about a character permeating pop culture. They always had go-go dancer cages at the front of Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, right.
And they had go-go dancers in there because it was like, you know, there's flames shooting up and it was all this, the idea just being absolute hedonism.
Yeah.
And the dancers in these go-go cages, were dressed like, you know, there's always the sexy Halloween costume.
Yes.
The sexy version of a thing. They were sexy Freddies.
Oh.
Yeah. Go-go dancing as
sexy Freddies. As if you could make Freddy any sexier.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is so weird.
We would walk in and I was like, guys, this is a little jarring. This is a little much. Especially when people would bring their kids to Horror Nights, which, first of all, don't bring your kids to Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh my gosh.
It is R-rated.
It's so scary.
Top to bottom, it's R-rated and scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was definitely Freddy permeating.
One time we were supposed to go, Jennifer and I were supposed to go to Not Scary Farm. I think you were there, Mark. I think you were working.
Yeah, I was doing an improv show there. Yeah.
And we got to the parking lot and then it was so full. We got there too late that we got turned away. And I've never been more relieved in my life that I didn't have to go in. Because I was so scared just walking up. I was like, so this is when do they start? Do they jump out in the parking lot? Does it start now?
Oh, God.
Can I call truce? Is that okay? What do I do? Gosh. And then they were like, it's closed. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, I guess we don't get to go.
Sorry, pal.
My favorite thing about
Not Scary Farm. Guess I got to take this diaper off. Yeah.
Knott's never had licensed characters, which I always thought was great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Universal has. They have Freddy and Jason and the characters from The Strangers, which is freaky. Like, they would have – but Knott's is even scarier because all of their horrifying monster characters, they just made up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who's this guy? Oh, that's Hatchet Head. And you're like, oh, damn, who is Hatchet Head? And they're like, you don't know about Hatchet. Like, just get me out of here. Let me go see Jason. I know Jason. I know what his weaknesses are. I don't know what Hatchet Head's weaknesses are.
He loves too much.
That's okay then. But watch out for that giant crocodile person. Crocodile person. All right, let's talk about the characters and their backstory.
Okay.
This is what we were talked a little bit about it before, but does the pure evil, which wins? The pure evil backstory of Freddy and his revenge story at the town that he feels did him wrong versus Jason's revenge story against teenagers who the culprits very much did him wrong.
Yeah.
And his mother.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even though she was
a psychopath.
She was a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a murderous psychopath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make no mistake.
Just where he gets it. You know?
Yeah.
He comes by it honestly.
Yeah.
Though. I think as a character, Freddy's more interesting, but as a backstory, Jason is to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something about Freddy. I think the fact that Freddy is just kind of like irredeemable that adds to that scary thing. Like you can't see him in a dream and go, hey, look, we're the same. I know what you're going through. I mean, you couldn't do that with Jason either, but at least it feels like there's some lingering humanity in Jason somewhere that is buried under mounds of, you know, psychopathic tendencies to murder, and pain and things like that.
Right.
Whereas Freddy is just like, it's just fun for him. There's no reasoning with him, but I don't know. I mean, I think Jason's backstory is richer.
Yeah.
But I do think Freddy's is kind of scarier because you're just like, he's just like that. You don't kind of ever find out why he wanted to kill children in the first place. You just know that when he got caught, he's like, oh, you think that was bad? I'm going to make it much worse.
Yeah. They both have that sort of urban legend to them. Like, did you hear about the kid who was killed by all the parents? And then when you go to sleep, he kills you? Or, hey, years ago at this camp, there was a kid who was left to drown because the counselors were having sex. And when the moon is full, he comes and murders everybody. But there, I think you hit the nail on the head. The idea of like the pathos of Jason Voorhees, where you're like, oh, I feel bad for him. His anger comes from a justified place, even if he's killing people who are completely unrelated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what makes Freddy a better character, that you want to see him destroyed because he's evil. Like you laugh at him, but ultimately in the larger sense of everything, you want him gone because he represents this pure evil.
Not only that, but I think I'm making like a huge generalization here, but it's from what I remember, there was an element of a lot of the people that Jason killed that were sort of like the ones that usually survived were the ones that you wanted to survive and that you cared about the most. And you're
right.
But that guy was kind of a jerk or whatever. Like that, you know, like you kind of saw them all kind of engage, maybe not all, but a lot of them engaging in certain behaviors and stuff. Whereas Freddy, you have really no sense who he's going to go after. Like some of the times you're like, oh, this person seems lovely and nice. It's not like something is they've treated someone wrong or they're a bully or anything like that. They're just like, I think that adds to the ability to feel something for Jason, is that even though he is always trying to kill everybody and he just ends up not killing the ones that you kind of root for. Freddy is just such a horrifying nightmare that you're just, there's almost no room for, there is no room for empathy really for Freddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think though that we might be layering that onto Jason because he is silent in like a King Kong, Frankenstein's monster kind of way?
For sure. It's like when you see like a terrifying wolf that's just like ripped apart a family of rabbits, but now they're like sleeping and you're like, oh, doggy,
I'm gonna go pet that doggy that's covered in blood.
It's just his nature, leave him alone.
I want to loop this a section of this into a thing I mentioned earlier, into this part of the conversation, and that is psychological representations, because I found an interesting thing here. There are different schools of thought on Jason and Freddy, one being that one represents the ego and one the id. And that another one being that Jason represents, they both represent criminal activity, but Jason represents street level crime and Freddy represents white collar crime.
Oh, whoa.
Interesting.
In that Jason's thing is indiscriminate chaos. You know, when people talk about tough on crime, like that is, he is just chaotic evil. But Freddy makes a point. He's pure.
It's like sinister and specific and
greedy for it.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating. I never would have heard that.
This is thanks to a psychologist writing on Retro Junk in an article called The Sociology of Freddy by someone named J. Swift X, who I assume that's not his real name or her real name.
They're in space now. J. Swift X is up there in space.
I'm just like Jason.
Yeah. We salute you.
But yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? That's just an interesting concept to me. The idea of, I mean, it's even in Freddy versus Jason, it's Freddy's whole MO. The first half of that movie is make people remember me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I think, like you were just saying, he's greedy. He doesn't have to do it. He's killed enough people. Whereas I think there's something about Jason. It feels more like a necessity for him. Like it's what he has to do to sort of make it through the day or survive. Not that any kind of crime.
Sure, some people need coffee.
But yeah, he sees something, he reacts to it. That's Jason's thing. Freddy is like, for Jason to come and kill you, you have to be like in his territory doing something that pisses him off.
Right.
Freddy is just like, he just wants more and more and more, and he'll figure out whatever way he can do to get it. And he's also slithery. Like, you can't ever pin him down. You can't put him in a cage or, got good lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it does seem like it's
back to the trial of Freddy Krueger.
focused wrong, people, though. But the best corporate, the best white collar criminals have great lawyers.
Yeah. They get it and they get away with it again and again.
It seems like it's focused evil versus misplaced rage.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Jason's motivation is more revenge. Freddy feels like revenge because he was burned alive, but the truth is he's just continuing his work. I will kill children.
Yeah.
He kills only children and teenagers. He doesn't generally kill adults. He wants to torture them.
And he really likes it. Like, you never really get a sense of – Jason has the sort of the attitude of, like, like a guy at a 9-to-5 who's just like, I got to just cut all these kids real quick so I can go to sleep maybe at some point.
And then someone's going to wake me up with electricity.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to get through it. Whereas, yeah, Freddy seeks it out and enjoys it, and it's fun, and, he's like, hey, wake up. Jason, got to do some dirty work so I can get back to my fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe for this, it does seem like it's, for me, it's angling toward, and again, it could be because, it's easy to lay a lot onto a silent character in a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as far as the character and the backstory and the, societal, what they represent societally, I think simply because of the complexity. Freddy says a lot, but he's not complicated.
Yeah.
He's just evil.
Yeah. He's creative.
He's very creative, but he's not complicated.
Yeah.
Jason is more complicated. So I feel like that one, what do you guys think?
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
I think especially in like what drives them. I think Jason is more complicated and Freddy is just like, I like killing kids. What do you want? Found a fun, more fun way to do it.
I have a great imagination.
I tailor it so that they're so scared right before they die. they get like a little mini Twilight Zone.
Freddy's got planning in his. Like, okay, guys, back to one. The kid's almost asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. I'm going to need a box full of pins and a chalkboard.
Yeah. Does anybody have some string? I want to make a marionette out of it. No, I'll use his tendons. It's cool.
Yeah. It's the same movie. The kid who loves Dungeons and Dragons is like, all right. There's a lot there. Dungeons and Dragons.
I guess I got to learn how to play Dungeons and Dragons first so I can really tailor this.
I'm going
to
need a D20 pun.
I'm going to do a one shot. I'm just going to do a one shot just to see if I even like it. And then I'll see what I come up with out of there, okay? All right.
I love it. Like, I love the idea of Freddy Krueger's, like, aide. And he's just like,
I need you to get me an NES and, like, the 6 most popular games. Because I'm coming up with a thing for a guy who loves.
Yeah.
I need to know how it looks. For me.
Yeah. I want your coverage. I'm very busy. I'm working on, like, 3 kids right now. I need you to do the NES, okay? And no power glove. It makes me feel insecure. And I can admit that. Exactly. Maybe I'm secure about it.
Maybe I am.
All right. By the way, I added one that I think we're going to need a tiebreaker. So I added one on here that's going to be the tiebreaker. Here. Kissing. Who's a better kisser?
Who's a better kisser?
But the next one, let's talk iconic moments. I feel like this one Freddie has hands down.
I think so too.
I mean, his deaths are absolutely bonkers.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And the little one-liners that he throws out after them, like I still remember some of them, and Jason has some good kills and some interesting, you know, like weapons that he uses, and a general vibe that's creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, those specific moments are I think Freddy takes it.
I think he's definitely has the most variety. I will say the moment at the end of Friday the 13th, where the lone survivor is in a boat waving to the police, and then Jason emerges from the lake and pulls her in.
That's scary.
Is incredibly
the number
scary.
Of times I've seen it, I always think that the wait for it to happen is shorter than it is, and it scares me every single time. Like it is one of the
that's the awful best
tension builds to something happening. That maybe I've ever seen, just in how well it's executed. But that's like one moment. I can't remember any of his other. I remember he kills Kevin Bacon, I think, through the bottom of a bed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The one in part two where the absolute, and this one is, I think this one's iconic because it's so terrible when he kills the guy in the wheelchair in part two.
Oh, gosh.
And just smashes him in the face with a machete, and then he bounces down the stairs in his wheelchair, and then they freeze frame on him for no reason at the end. And you're like, did you just freeze frame in the middle?
Frame. It was the 80s.
That was their part. Like, all right, it looks like he's doing a high five right there.
Yeah. Oh. Look, I expect a good freeze frame at the end of a Rocky movie.
Yeah. That is
not,
so bizarre.
Not in the middle of a Jason movie.
Oh my gosh!
Too the freeze frames.
Oh, yeah, his kills aren't as exciting as his just showing up like moments.
Yeah,
Jason is great at those. Like if Freddy's coming, you'll see him coming from a mile away.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, and also a lot of Jason's iconic moments are the ones that he's not in, where it's just like, oh, we got him. Where is he? He's right in this. He was right here. Like, oh my god, that is so scary and a cool move.
Super
cool move. He's just like lying there. He's like, are they gone? Oh my god, they're gonna freak out. I'm gonna wait until they look away for 2 minutes and I'm just gonna roll over. I can be real stealthy when I want to be.
Yeah, he is stealthier than David Copperfield.
He really is.
If that's a sound, you can hear him going.
Although I think it goes to Freddy too, because that Michael Myers also pulls that move of being, yeah, you think he's done, and there's the one where he's like gone outside the window, but there's that other terrifying one where he's kind of out of focus in the background lying down and you just see him sit up like that, mm-hmm, like the Undertaker used to do in WWE.
yeah, anytime they're blurry in the background and there's any motion,
it's always so really bad. Yeah, so scary.
Yeah, god, it's so freaky. When do you think these movies realized how fun they were?
I think Nightmare on Elm Street realized that they were fun early. Oh, I don't know actually when they came out, but when you watch the movies in order, mm-hmm, I feel like definitely by the third one, they're like, yeah, okay, this is so fun. Yeah. Let's do some weird, crazy dreams. And whereas Jason really, like, it's just scary and awful. And then I think they start having a little bit more fun with the kills. They probably were like, mm-hmm, people are responding to the super gruesome, terrifying, you know, folding a kid in half or jabbing slicing, you know, kid through the top of his head all the way down.
So, it feels like they might have been accidentally campy. God, about
that. Yeah. And
Freddy movies are purposefully campy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, they lean into it. Jason was sort of playing catch up, or the yeah, making those. So they're like, well, they have to be a little more creative. Like, what do we do?
What do we do? Put her in liquid nitrogen and then smash her face?
All right, we could try it.
I guess. All right.
Should we try giving Jason some one liners? I mean,
oh, this is a good one for you.
What?
Yeah.
What did he say?
It's impossible, guys. It's just impossible. Yeah.
if he sounded like Bane. Oh, of course, anyone with a mask.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Someone should.
Teenagers.
Someone should dub over some of the old Jason movies.
Right? Oh, man, those things are ready for some ADR.
Looks like you're heading south and doing drugs. I don't like that.
Oh, I also love the idea that he wouldn't have a vocabulary beyond, you guys, you guys, you guys. Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing?
It's all FOMO.
Look, I'm in the water. Look. Are you looking? Look. You're not looking. Look at me. Look. Come on. Real quick.
Look what I can
look,
do.
Look
what I
can
do.
Can I come? Can I
go with you?
Can I come with you guys?
Oh, he's so
good. So much of this is our own feelings.
That's the thing. Kids. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And we get it.
Yeah. That could be another thing that he represents is like, you know, that's what it, like the kid that's picked on, you know.
Yeah.
The absolute worst possible outcome for the kid that's picked on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, the iconic moments have to go to Freddy.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So here's what that means, fellas.
Uh-oh.
We had four categories. Who would win in a fight? Jason. Pop culture, Freddy. Character and backstory, Jason. Iconic moments, Freddy.
Oh, boy.
Once again, a tie. So allow me to propose, and I'm reticent to propose this as a final tiebreaker category.
Well, hold on, Mark.
What?
Wait a second. Before you do that, mm-hmm, let's take a quick break.
Ooh, right at the end. We're doing the quick break right at the end.
Yeah, we're doing it right at the end.
Oh,
okay. Quick break.
So mean.
We're going to hear from some of the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network.
Good.
I'm
that's
the real
good
monster. And then we'll be back with your tiebreaker.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah! Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95, we did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion?
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan-Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
And we're back.
You all better right. not have fast-forwarded through those.
Don't that's right. Jerks.
You better not have. Out.
I
know these two guys. I'll sick them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, that's right.
You don't want us off of the chain and coming at you.
Hold on a second. Jason. Wait, Jason has on. Just pulled out. You have to screen cap this, Hal.
Yeah.
I will hit anyway, yeah, here, I'll, back I'll,
up. The, yeah.
There you go. But
hold him up there. Let's see him. Yeah.
Jason just pulled out his pop vinyls. Of Freddie and Jason.
I had to get them there. No, they didn't. No.
They just do the Freddie and the Jason.
They just do the Freddie and the Jason.
It's easier to make than just the high school dude.
Yeah. It is a painful realization that you realize when you're in one of those movies that you're just like the hamburger somebody's eating. Like, you're no one's like, I wonder what the teenagers are. Like, I wonder how deep we get into the backstory of the.
Oh, it's
do
great.
Do we care? Do we care about the teenagers? We just want to see these. We're like, oh, these are all the people who might get murdered? So fun.
Look, you guys do a great job of that. Freddy vs. Jason does a great job of that. That opening scene where it's just, hey, the power's kind of ishy in my house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's going to be here. And it's like, well, clearly that guy's going to get killed first. Oh, she's smoking. She's going to get killed.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly's going to make it far. Because she's the voice of reason to the obvious heroine. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's set up so perfectly.
But the only three the only three teenagers that we like, in my opinion, are you and the character played by Monica Keener and the guy who plays your friend from the asylum.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's the only one who, he knows.
And the nerdy kid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We do like him. Yeah. We do like him. But generally, that film in particular. And I think a lot of the movies did this as they went further along in both franchises. You don't really like a lot of the characters. Like, you want them you don't feel as bad when they're killed because at that point it just became like, it's going to be creative. It's going to, in Freddy's case, it's going to be entertaining. So it's almost better if you don't like them as much or you're not as invested in them.
Right. Exactly.
Like, oh, I hope they make it. I really hope they make it.
But they always give us a couple of characters that you do feel that way about.
And exactly. that you miss when they get it.
And then they kill them two movies later, which is, that was a brilliant move in Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I found out that my character dies right at the beginning of Freddy versus Jason versus Ash in the comic books. I was they're eviscerated. All right.
Oh, buddy, I'm sorry.
Hey, you got to be in a comic.
I did. It was super cool.
Did they make it look like you?
I was happy with what they did. I was like, that great. Looks like just like a cool like superhero guy. That doesn't look like me, but I'm like, nah, I appreciate it. Let's tell them that I look like that.
Yeah, there you go. Just a handsome Superman.
Yeah, sorry.
My brother he was on a season of Hell's Kitchen that was the one that Mad Magazine lampooned.
Oh,
so Mad Magazine drew my brother, which I was very excited about.
Oh, that's so a huge. Cool. Yeah. They did a Joan of Arcadia one, and I.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, how that was exciting. So I grew up with Mad Magazine, and
sure
to see it was still the same artist. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I still have it.
Oh, that's cool. There you go. So this final one. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's very fun. Speaking of fun, who's more fun? I feel like as a tiebreaker question.
Who do I want to go on vacation with?
Oh, God.
Who's more fun at Thanksgiving dinner?
That's what. Yeah. Well, Freddie can carve the turkey.
That's true.
So can Jason.
I guess Jason can too.
They'd both be too good at carving the turkey. Everyone would be like, I think I don't. Did he Does he wash that glove? Does he?
Yeah. But I think Freddy could carve the turkey into like perfect slices of the breast meat and the thigh would come off perfectly. Jason, it would just be a hack fest.
That's true.
Like, holy cow. Like
the table's in half.
Like there's a chunk of bone in this. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You didn't even take that bag of guts out of the middle. Like there's paper in mine.
There is just no subtlety in this carving, Jason.
Don't complain to him. He gets upset very easily.
Why? He can't hear. Oh, just because he can't talk? You think he can't hear?
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
He is very sensitive.
You have the one uncle who's like, let me tell you something about Jason. Tell you about all these monsters. They're all the same.
Oh, Uncle Hank, you're going out.
Michael for me. Yeah. You're going to go strong, silent type. I would prefer a jumpsuit.
You know who would have done a better job carving that turkey? Pinhead. I'm just going to say it. Nobody else will say it. I will say it.
Do you think Pinhead, do you think those are all nails or if they're all just turkey thermometers and you know when he's hot because they all just
oh my God.
They like all pop up all over his head.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
I Hellraiser was too scary for me. I tried when at a certain point and it was too scary for me. Yeah, and I also couldn't help but thinking if Pinhead ever like trips and just knocks his head against a wall, it like made me uncomfortable to see him. I was like, just everyone stays 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he needs something from the kitchen, do not let him go open the cabinets. Because if he leaves one open and bangs his head on it.
I know it's not going to kill him, but ow. Yeah.
But even like the actor, like imagine it's lunchtime.
Oh gosh.
How do you navigate that? You got to like curve your arm all the way around, bring the food in like it's the Millennium Falcon docking the Death Star. Very slow. Very slow. Get it in there.
You have to hum the theme song.
Yeah. This is no moon.
Never tell me the odds.
But yeah, we need a tiebreaker question. I was reluctant to pick this one because it seems like this one aims toward Freddy because he's just, as a character, is designed to be more fun. But Jason Voorhees, those movies, like, he is the biggest part of those movies in that his presence and lack of presence is what makes those movies fun.
Well, I think it's what's fun too is that you're just like, okay, we know his deal. Mm-hmm. What if he's on a boat? What if he's in Manhattan? What if he's in space? And that it becomes fun to see a beloved character who you just, it's like, you know, tuning into your favorite sitcom where you're like, oh, this character, he always does this. I love it every time. Like, so there is an element of fun seeing him in different, like, oh, I wonder what happens in Zero Gravity or whatever.
Yeah, Zero Gravity Jason.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Jason X. That's the one that I has still eluded me. Maybe tonight's the night,
right?
Yeah.
But I do think for me, Freddy edges out Jason just because the dreams are always so surreal and fun. It must have even been fun to make those movies, be a set designer or like a prop master in those movies, and just create giant weird things. Or am I making this up, or is there one Freddy one that saw like that Aha Take On Me video where there's like comic book, like someone kind of goes into a comic or something like that? Is that one?
There is
that does that sounds,
and they're like they become animated sort of. I can't really remember, but anyway, it was like fun and you never knew what was coming. And and some of those visuals, I mean, like the arms coming out in the first one, or the I think all the balls hitting the gym teacher that one images that you never forget,
they're nightmares, the nightmares of those nightmare movies.
Yeah, fun old nightmares.
Yeah,
so for me I think it's Freddy. I what do you think?
I thought he had won more categories already. I thought he was already the winner. I was shocked when it was a tie, Mark.
That was a tie.
I think it kind of has to be Freddy. Because he's bigger, he's also bigger than the movies, even the pop culture alone. Like he has ascended the movies are what they are, and you either enjoy them more as they go on, or you're like, I miss when it was more bleak. But there's something for you to enjoy, and that like Jason Voorhees isn't going to show up at the MTV Beach House in the 90s. But Freddie would probably be there, and yeah, that's Eric Meese on the grind. Of course he would. Of course, he wants to dance. He wants to hang out with Dan Cortez on MTV Sports. So nobody, all the 90s shows.
Nobody knew that the final battle between Freddy versus Jason would come down to a personality.
Yeah.
And he had just Jason out just with a little
Eric Meese.
Yeah. little spring break.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
there it is.
It sounds like we have our answer, gentlemen. How will you – step up to the podium?
I will. People of the world, there are monsters everywhere. They're hiding under your bed.
What?
When you go to sleep, they're looking at you. You go camp, you figure I'm going to go get away to the woods and camp. No, they're there too. They're everywhere. But only one of them can be the best. And we brought in the only person who survived both of them. said yes. And that is Jason. And here he is. And even he, who has to remain partial, because he worked with both of them, hung out with both of them.
I love them both.
Impartial.
I know you go to Nate and Al's and have lunch every Tuesday.
I do. You're
always hanging out right across from Larry King. And
again, Freddie wins those. The lunches with Jason just drag on.
Yeah. Say anything. You have to do all of the conversation. Yeah.
All the heavy lifting.
He has to drink his whole meal through a straw through one of those holes in his mask.
I have to order for him also to get sick of the waitress. Yeah.
He doesn't even, his fingers are too fat. When he points to one line, he's pointing to like three dishes.
Yeah, and the guy's like, I don't know what.
Yeah.
But he only points at the vegan section.
Interestingly enough, weirdly. Yeah, vegan. Yeah.
Total vegan. He's
part of that
sensitivity. Soy rizzo.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
Big fan. But Freddy is the winner in the ultimate battle of Freddy versus Jason. It's Freddy, guys. Did you know it? So. You probably knew it deep inside all along. We're right. Congratulations. Yeah. Asked and answered.
Jason Ritter, this was an absolute delight.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this, man.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun. I also feel like, you know, if Jason kind of wins the battle in the movie, Freddy wins this podcast episode.
Yeah. That's
right. It's still a tie.
No.
Exactly.
We need another tiebreaker.
Go forever.
You know what? It's Michael Myers.
Okay, that's fine. Right. Fair enough.
Surprise.
No. It's Mike Myers.
Oh, it's great. Myers.
Weirdly enough, as the love guru.
As the love guru beats them all out.
That part is less
because
surprising.
Because love beats hate.
That's right. Amen. Jason, what do you want? Anything you want to plug, let the people know about? Just tell them how you're doing.
Just stay safe out there. It's a crazy world, but I've been home. I don't have anything. I just hi, it's me. I like me, please like me. That's all. Yeah, just continue to like me if you have already started, or start to like me if you haven't.
And if they want to let you know on Twitter when they have good turnip prices.
Yeah. Good turn.
Oh my God! Do you guys both play this game?
We do.
I love
it. It's a welcome escape. Yes. I made a killing on turnips last week, and this week it was too intense. I dropped out.
I haven't done it for 2 weeks because I can't. It's too
stressful. Like, have you guys seen Uncut Gems?
Not yet.
Well, watch it and know that that is how I feel for a week. Just like high stakes. I've put everything on the line. I could go one of two ways. I'm either dead or I win big. Last week I won big, and this week is too much anxiety.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
But to be worried about turnips, that's the beautiful thing about escapism is in this awful landscape. For an hour or so a day, he can.
Yeah. Or 10 hours a day for some.
Or 10 hours. 10 hours. No, I was trying to sound like
Listen,
most of the day.
Got to catch those fish.
You do.
Thank you again for coming and joining us. This is, thankfully, we've settled it. We did it.
But there
are a ton more topics out there, Mark.
Look at this. Wait, hold on a second. Is that a laser disc?
That too.
This is a metal sculpture.
Whoa, cool.
The poster. Wow. That oh no, it's backwards for me, but it's probably is this right the way for you?
That's backwards for us.
Oh, that's backwards. Okay,
that's
so us. Yeah, it's this guy made it and gave it to my stepmom at a Comic-Con, and she
that's really cool
gave it to me. Yeah, it's amazing. Really impressive. So I just those are my things,
dude. I love that you have toys.
I do you have any props from that movie that you kept?
I wish I did. I wish I had kept a bottle of Hypnosil. That's my.
Yeah. Like, oh man.
Yeah, just to have, in case case I ever have a bad dream, I need to forget for a minute.
Look, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know that was. Don't tell him. It's fine.
Yeah, those were M&Ms.
Topics.
That's right. This topic is closed, but there are many more to discuss. So please reach out to us on Twitter. Check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com. Or hey, join the Facebook group. Talk about whether you like Freddy or Jason. Talk about anything. What do you like on your cereal? Bananas? Who cares? Go to facebook.com/groups/wegotthispodcast. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, researcher Kate McManus, graphic designer Uri Kilman, and QA engineer Jen Alba.
And thanks, of course, to our musicians, Jonathan Dinerstein and Mike Furman, for our score and theme song, respectively. And thanks to you, the people of the world, for giving us a chance to sit down with Jason and talk about this movie that we all love and these characters that we all love. Love to hate, love to love, hate to love. And we love you, Jason, and we love the people of the world. And everybody, please, please stay safe out there. And we will talk to you next time. For Hal Lublin, I'm Mark Agliardi.
For Mark Agliardi, I'm Hal Lublin. And don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.